the Strip. NBC's Chapman Bell is in Tel Aviv.
Earlier today, she met with the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, and we're hearing reports that she's going to meet again with Israeli leaders before traveling to Egypt, where these negotiations have been taking place.
The fighting there has been ongoing for 8 days. Of those traveling this Thanksgiving holiday, about 90% of us will be doing so by car, reports AAA. Many are citing the increased cost of air travel as the reason for hitting the road.
It's virtually unaffordable to fly with 3 kids.
The average for a gallon of regular gas nationwide is $3.41. Sesame Street's beloved Elmo character will continue despite the resignation of the puppeteer behind the character. This is NBC News Radio. A new poll ranks several politicians for their response to Superstorm Sandy.
Quinnipiac University polled 1,165 New Yorkers who thought the person who handled Sandy best was New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, closely followed by President Obama. Most responders said that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg each did an excellent job, but they ranked lower on the list. Those polled were also pleased with the work of first responders, but not utility companies. I'm Paul Harlan, NBC News Radio.
It looks like Hostess Brands is folding after all. The company will meet with a bankruptcy judge today. Sentencing is scheduled today for a fourth defendant in a failed bridge bombing plot in Northeast Ohio. His three co-defendants got prison terms of at least 8 years yesterday. And Newark Mayor Cory Booker says he plans to honor a Twitter challenge and live on food stamps for at least a week. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-321-9960. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-321-9960. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-321-9960. That's 1-800-321-9960.
The company behind book publisher HarperCollins is peering over someone else's shoulder. Wall Street Journal reports News Corp, which also owns MarketWatch, is considering making an acquisition bid for publisher Simon & Schuster, owned by CBS. The report says talks have been going on, but nothing like a deal is near, at least at this time. Tough times for the maker of the BlackBerry just keep getting tougher. Another U.S. federal agency is dropping the devices made by Research in Motion in favor of Apple iPhones. This one is the National Transportation Safety Board, and it follows in the footsteps of the TSA, Defense Department, and Immigration Customs Enforcement. The reason is greater reliability of iPhones, as well as the need to have agencies all using the same technology platform in case of catastrophe. Stock futures right now lower. S&P futures losing 3. NASDAQ futures down 5. European markets are fighting to a near draw. Stock markets in Asia today were higher. I'm Andrew O'Day. In the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Homeowners, in today's world, no neighborhood is immune from burglaries. So call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer. Get a free security system with free activation and free hardware. You pay for just a $99 installation fee and monitoring services. Call right now and you'll also get 6 door and window sensors for free. Call right now, 1-888-427-1444. 1-888-427-1444. $99 installation charge. 36-month monitoring agreement at $36.99 per month. Total cost $13.31.64. Payment by credit card or electronic bank account charge. For new homeowner customers with satisfactory credit history only. Local permit fees may be required. Certain restrictions may apply. Cannot be combined with any other offer. License number CAACO6320KY City of Louisville 483 and FLEC13003427. Call for additional numbers. Total package includes 6-door window sensors. Call now, 1-888-427-1444.
Do you hide your teeth when you smile? Are your teeth yellow or stained, making you feel embarrassed? Yellow-stained teeth causes stress for thousands of people just like you, and whitening toothpastes just doesn't make those ugly stains go away. Introducing Power Swabs, the first tooth whitening system that lifts stains off of your teeth in 5 minutes. The secret is a tooth detergent developed by Dr. Martin Ginniger that dissolves stains on your teeth. And unlike normal bleach whiteners, Power Swabs works on natural teeth, veneers, bonding, caps, and crowns. The best part is your teeth can be 2 shades whiter in 5 minutes. No more sitting at home with a whitening strip or tray in your mouth for 60 minutes. Power Swabs guarantees your teeth will be an average of 6 shades whiter in 7 days. Call for your 5-minute solution to whiter teeth. Dial 1-800-204-4606. That's 1-800-204-4606. Start showing off your teeth and smiling more. Try Power Swabs risk-free today. Call 1-800-204-4606. That's 1-800-204-4606.
Comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning. It is Wednesday, the 21st day of November 2012. And, well, it's here. The Thanksgiving holiday is upon us. Wait till the stroke of midnight and we're there. I got my coffee. I'm good to go. Ate my... half of my oat and honey bar, and so I'm carved up to some degree and ready to do this. 4 hours of radio today as we get ready to set sail. And we've got a really, really good show for you today. So we're certainly not taking any time off for today's program. That is for sure. And I'll get to the rundown in just a moment. I promise I will. Obviously, if you're traveling, travel safe. If you're staying home, take your time. No need to stress over dinner. I'm sure you're all wonderful cooks. And for those of you that are doing this for the first time, worry your ass off, because it's going to suck if it sucks. Sorry, didn't mean to, you know, be so real, but hey, good luck. Let's take a look at what we got going today. In the 7 o'clock hour, the president of the Michigan State Board of Education, John Austin, joins us. A variety of topics as education, once again, at the forefront of a legislative agenda, a misplaced education agenda. When will the Republicans stop attacking public education and start focusing on creating jobs? Michigan, by the way, was the number one state in lost jobs in October. We lost 16,000 jobs in October. Not even in New Jersey, where they had a storm, an epic storm. They only lost 11,500 jobs. Yep, Michigan, once again, the top of the heap. Legislature, are you paying attention? Oh, we've got much to talk about with John Austin. Then Keith Johnson, the president of the Detroit Federation of Teachers, joins us. And, of course, they're looking to get rid of Roy Roberts, who, by the way, promised that if Public Act 4 was voted down, and it was, that he would resign. Where the hell's the letter? We'll get to that. Stephen Henderson from the Detroit Free Press joins us at 8 o'clock. A variety of issues to get to with him. And Lori Lamoran from Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan joins us for our weekly segment with them at 8:35, she has lots to be thankful for. She's going to share that list with us. Royal Oak City Commissioners Jim Razor and Kyle DeBuck will join us at 9 o'clock to talk about Royal Oak's proactive plan to make sure that hate and discrimination don't live there anymore. We'll get into the details, and Eric Fleming will join us. Now, Eric has an interesting story. He was about to open up a bakery in New Jersey when Superstorm Sandy came along and derailed that. Where's he at now? We're going to actually follow him and see how he's doing some months down the road. But we'll visit with Eric, and I'm sure he has plenty to be thankful for as well. With all that said, folks, it's time to get ready, so let's do this.
Before you punch in for your first shift, Here is the first word with Tony.
Well, our first word today is simple. It's Thanksgiving. You know, what's the definition of Thanksgiving, or what does it mean to you? I know it means different things to different people. I know that not all families are created equal. We talked about that a bit yesterday. But what does Thanksgiving mean to me? I'll be honest with you. To me, it's a time of respite. It's a time for family. It's a time for camaraderie. It's a time for love and compassion. It's a time for laughter and joy. And that's because I am fortunate enough to live in a family dynamic where there is respect and there is love and there is a want to be together. We want to be together. We enjoy each other's company. Thanksgiving is about pausing. It is about taking stock, taking some inventory, understanding the importance. It also opens a door to the Christmas holidays. There's no question that these are tied together. But folks, Thanksgiving in its purest form, in its most really generous form, is about remembering all of those things that we hold near and dear. And it should not be a day of sadness. You know, the way that we celebrate, or why we celebrate Thanksgiving, really is quite beautiful. The roots of the holiday are incredibly strong. And although at some level we've gotten away from the true spirit of the Thanksgiving holiday, not entirely. I think the majority of us absolutely understand and celebrate all of those things that we are thankful for. Some people do it from a much more spiritual place. Other people just do it from a family place, a celebratory place. And that's fine, too. We don't have to over or under define anything. It can be whatever you want it to be, but let it be something pure, something whole, something beautiful. Let it be that. Let go for a day. Just let go. Let people have their quirks. Let Uncle this one and Uncle that one fight out over politics if that's what they're going to do. Sit back and smile and just enjoy the fact that you belong to something that God had a hand in. Oh, Thanksgiving. We could go on for hours, but let me just tell you, at its core, at its foundation, Thanksgiving is a chance to do just that, to give thanks. And we do. And I'm thankful for you. And Thanksgiving is today's first word.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings. And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
We're going to drop some knowledge on you today. We got a lot to get to today, so let's say good morning and welcome back to Big A. Anthony, great to see you on this pre-Thanksgiving Day show.
Yeah, we got a big show, a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, we do. Are you ready for dinner tomorrow in Aunt Mary's?
Yeah, as long as it's not some healthy diet dinner.
Well, now you know that that's not going to happen.
All right, yeah, I'm excited now.
I'm making the mashed potatoes, so, you know, I'm not going to...
It's about the stuffing. I hope we got the...
Aunt Tina's got that covered. Aunt Marion's got it covered. Aunt Marion's making the bread stuffing. Aunt Tina's making the meat stuffing, so we've got those covered.
See, you know I'm not the meat stuffing fan.
But I am.
You are. Everybody else is. I don't know why. I just can't get to, like, the meat stuff.
Well, she's doing it a little different this year. She's actually going to add a little Italian sausage to it. So I'm kind of curious to see how that works out.
I'll definitely taste it.
Oh, absolutely. So very much looking forward to that. Anyway, we can come back to that a little bit later. Let's start with the Detroit Tigers. Released Ryan Rayburn yesterday. And not a surprise, Anthony, by any measure. You know, it's still news.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's still news. It shouldn't be news, but the fact, the impact he had on the team is news.
Yes. Well, the impact he had on the team.
Well, not the positive impact.
I was going to say, I'm trying to think here. Where were you going with that? Interestingly, I was listening to Sports Talk Radio in the afternoon, and as I was running some errands yesterday, and they played this series of clips of Ryan Rayburn making mistakes. It was really embarrassing. If I were Ryan Rayburn listening to that, I would not be a happy camper. including Jim Leland, the manager of the Tigers, saying, hey, listen, I just can't put him in against left-handers. He has literally a zero chance of hitting the ball. Well, there's a vote of confidence, huh? Anyway, he's gone, and that's the end of that story. He is absolutely done and over with as a Detroit Tigers, released yesterday, and we'll see what happens from there. Still talk, by the way, very quickly, that they're still pursuing some big-name free agents. So we'll see what happens. I think, is it clear to you that Mike Ilitch, his health is failing?
I think when we all seen him after the ALCS, That it really showed how where he was along, and that he wants to win now.
Yeah. So I think that they're willing to spend what money they need to spend to get that done and over with, and so they will do that. More talk in the NHL, no news out of hockey, and so we're just going to let that go. We should be a solid month into the season at this point, and we're not even close to having that conversation, so we'll pass on that. When did Pistons play again?
Tonight.
Oh, they play tonight. Okay. Who do they play?
I'd have to look that
that's
up.
That's fine.
I checked it yesterday.
All right.
They play tonight.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's
so what... does actually, Michigan plays tonight basketball against Pittsburgh, and this is the preseason tournament, you know, that they do at the beginning of every year. So they're 3-0. They could go out to a 4-0 start, and they're ranked number 4 in the country after this past weekend.
I'm impressed. I am impressed. There's no question about that. Beeline has done a stupendous job of rebuilding a program that was at one time one of the most storied programs in college basketball, and to be able to rebound like that. And listen, you can't question, and you and I talked about this either last week or the week before, Tom Izzo with Michigan State, you know, they're always a competitor, but you stop and think about how few of his players end up in professional basketball. I think it says that much more about him that he's able to get that kind of success out of that kind of talent.
He recruits the four-year guys. He doesn't go after the one-and-done types. He gets the team player that runs his system.
Now, and he should be very proud of that and should be celebrated for it. Okay, when we come back, Michigan State, Detroit Lions. So stay where you're at. We'll take the break. We'll come back and finish up on this pre-Thanksgiving show. I'm Tony Trupiano. Stay with us.
Recently on First Shift,
I proudly believe that the people of the great state of Michigan, every working family in this state, deserves better than they're getting. I'm never going to apologize for that.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Not much going on the roadways at this time. Just some road construction to look out for. One lane is closed in both directions. Washtenaw Ave, just west of US 23. Also, the off-ramp is closed. I-94 eastbound at Gratiot Ave. And I-275 northbound between E-Course Road and Michigan Ave. A single lane is closed there as well. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 60. Tonight, a low of 41. Tomorrow, 61 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off. The non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well. Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 a.m. on this Wednesday program. We've got some football to take a look at, and we're going to do that, Anthony. Let's start with Michigan State and Minnesota. And this is crazy as this sounds, a must win for the last place Spartans. They will not get a bowl bid if they don't win on Saturday. You know, I got to tell you, I don't think I feel very good about this game, Anthony.
I feel pretty good about how Michigan State's season went.
Well, yes, you're not a big Michigan State fan, but by the way, I did win last weekend, so we are tied once again.
All right, you won up me last weekend. Oh, yes. Still, what game was it? The
Michigan State game,
right?
Yeah. So, let's take a look at this one. I think it's going to be close. I think Michigan State has a lot to lose. I think that there's a lot of pride involved. I don't know that they have the talent to do it. I'm going to say just within the, I don't know, the point spread, they're not going to cover the spread. I think Michigan State loses by 3 points on Saturday.
Wow. I think Michigan State, there's no way they're missing a bowl game. D'Antonio's going to have them ready. As bad as they've played, they're way better than they have played. And they're going to get the sixth win. They're going to go to a bowl game. And they're gonna win by two possessions on Saturday.
Wow, okay. Well, there we go. That might be our regular season tiebreaker for all I know. Now, before we get to the Michigan-Ohio State game, my union brother, Mylon Peel, sent me a list that I'd like to share with you. He's with UAW Local 1248. You ready for this, eh?
Give it to me.
All right. Did you hear about the Ohio State Buckeye fan who tried to blow up the Michigan team bus?
No, I did not.
He burned his lips on the tailpipe. I'm not done. Did you hear about the fire in Ohio State University's football dorm that destroyed 20 books?
Nope.
The real tragedy was that 15 hadn't been colored in yet. The next one, if you have a car containing a Buckeye wide receiver, a Buckeye linebacker, and a Buckeye defensive back, who is driving the car?
I don't know who.
The cop. Two more. Why do they sell so many buttonfly jeans in Ohio?
Why is that?
Because the sheep can't hear the zippers a mile away. Ooh. And last but not least, how do you make Ohio State University cookies?
I don't know.
Put them in a big bowl and beat for 3 hours. Ba-dum-bum-tsh. All right, I had to share them. All right, Michigan, Ohio State. It is the pinnacle of college sports. It is an important game. Both teams, of course, have played well this year, and I don't know, Michigan, I think Michigan has the talent, but I'm going to let you go ahead and call this one first.
Well, they do call it the game, and I'm going with a gut feeling. This isn't off of who's better or whatever. I'm going to have to pick Michigan because I like the way they're playing. I like the way Gardner's playing. I think it's just going to, they're going to go out there, they're going to shock Ohio State, they're going to ruin their undefeated season, and Urban Meyer is going to lose to the Wolverines for the first time.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And by the way, Devin Gardner was named co-offensive player of the week last week. I think that, no matter what they do. By the way, Denard Robinson has been cleared to start at QB if they need him. I don't think they're going to do that, Anthony. I think they're going to do what they did last week, or at least some form of what they did last week. Why would you not want both of those very talented players on the field as much as you possibly can? If they're serious and Brady Hoke is serious about winning this game, he will. I think he's going to have to play some tricks. I think that they're going to win this game, and I think they're going to win fairly confidently.
Yeah, I hope they do.
All right. Well, last but, I hope not least, the Detroit Lions will host the Houston Texans, the 9-1 Houston Texans, this Thursday, tomorrow. And a nationally televised game. It used to be that no matter how the Lions were playing, when it came to Thanksgiving, they always had a chance to win. I'm not feeling that optimistic. I don't see the Lions winning, although Houston's defense is not as good as their record would indicate. I don't think our offense is playing on all cylinders. We've had some controversy in the locker room this week. Not that I think it really matters, because if you got someone that disruptive that you kick out, it probably gives you a little peace. Your thoughts?
On Titus Young or on the game?
Either. Both.
Well, Titus Young is, he's something. I don't know. They got to figure out something quick with that guy. He's on a short leash with the team, I would believe. But, with Houston, they're a really good football team, if not, the best in the league. And Arian Foster's, one heck of a running back, and I just don't see us shutting him down. Owen Daniels, who isn't, really that known, but he's one of the better tight ends in the league, he's had some big games this year, and I think he might have a big one against us. And don't forget about Andre Johnson, the other Johnson that's one of the top three in the league at receiving.
Yeah, so I'll call it first. Detroit loses by 17, Anthony. I think they're going to get their asses kicked.
Well, I hope not. I'll go Detroit by losing by like six.
You do remember that Thanksgiving game we went to against Indianapolis where Peyton Manning burned us in the first half to the point where the place was half full by halftime, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the year he set the record for most touchdowns. I think that game helped him out quite a bit.
Yeah, well, anyway, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Anyway, that's our sports segment for today, a little longer, the extended version, but we'll be back on Monday. That's right, Monday. We'll be off for the weekend, starting after the show today. Unless we decide to leave earlier, and then you'll know, because there'll be dead air for a while. I'm kidding. All right, so that's that. As we did yesterday, as we will do today, I'm going to get to some stuff, I'm going to get to some audio, but what are you thankful for? Would love to hear from some of you again today, or from plenty of you yesterday. Would like to hear from some of you today. What are you thankful for? I'm going to guess that there are lots of people that have the day off or that have a partial day today, so good for you. But if you're out and about, if you're on your way to work or at home drinking your morning coffee, what are you thankful for? 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. As I said yesterday, it can be something as traditional as family, friends, and health, or something much more personal, or something professional, something political. It doesn't matter to me. You know, what are you thankful for? Truly want people to start, you know, reinvigorating the spirit of the holiday beyond, I eat good food and then we go shopping, because that's not just what the holiday is about. And this whole shopping thing, we're going to come back to this a little bit later on. And for those of you that aren't familiar with what's happening with Walmart, there is a nationwide protest that is being planned. They have 3,000 stores domestically. 1,000 of them have been targeted by their own employees. to protest the Black Friday. As many of you know, there are lots of stores open tomorrow. Now, some of them open earlier, some of them open later. It doesn't matter. What's happened to this country where we can't take a day, and celebrate each other and give thanks where it's appropriate and, you know, get connected to our families, you know, stay present? What happened to that? That's the question. What happened to that? Anyway, what are you thankful for? 888-552-3595. We're going to take a real quick break here. When we continue, lots of stuff. This is 1310 WDTW. I am Tony Truffiano. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Let's take the break. We'll continue right after this.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
There's an accident blocking your left lane, I-94 eastbound before Schaefer Highway. Other than that, just some road construction to look out for. I-94 eastbound at Gratiot Ave, the off-ramp is closed. And I-275 northbound between Ecorse Road and Michigan Ave, traffic will be reduced down to one lane. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
You love that one-of-a-kind taste of Honey Baked ham, but have you tasted their turkey breast? With a new recipe and the sweet, crunchy glaze you love, their honey-baked turkey breast could be the beginning of a brand new holiday tradition. For coupons and to find a store near you, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 60. Tonight, a low of 41. Tomorrow, 61 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
The sky is falling. The end times are upon us. It's all over for America, and it's all because of you. You, the execrable voters. This is the wretched wail of a few corporate chieftains who claim to be somewhere between flummoxed and furious that Barack Obama is back in the White House. With his diabolical Obamacare and tax-the-rich attacks on us wealthy job creators, they moan. This president is out to destroy American business. There's a tsunami coming, cried one, so we must save ourselves. How do these trembling titans of free enterprise intend to do that? By firing employees, thus sending a message to workers that voting for Democrats is bad for their health. Elections have consequences, exclaimed a Las Vegas boss after offing 22 workers the day after Obama was reelected. Echoing this self-serving political ethic, a Georgia executive told C-SPAN that his fear of Obamacare made him fire enough workers to exempt his business from providing health care. I tried to make sure that the people I had to lay off voted for Obama, he noted, spewing spite. Then there's Papa John's, the billion-dollar-a-year fast food chain. John Schnatter, the present papa of Papa John's, had warned this summer that he'd jack up the consumer price of the chain's pizza if Obama won, because he was not going to eat the cost of assuring health coverage for employees. Post-election, however, Schnatter has decided not to slap his customers, but to slap Papa John's workers instead, by cutting their hours to part-time so he doesn't have to pay for their coverage. That's what you do, Schnatter snapped. You pass on costs. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's what you do, and what an exemplary way for the millionaire boss to boost productivity, loyalty, and morale of those who do the actual work that make customers want to buy Papa John's pizza, or not.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us, at
Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Give us a call 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. What are you thankful for? 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Cautionary note. Drinking and driving is a no-no no matter when. It is just wrong. Don't do it. But you need to be aware, if you are not already, that the police beef up patrols starting today, Wednesday, and they will do that through the holidays. They get a special federal grant to do it statewide. They share resources. You need to know that if you get behind that wheel and you are tipsy and you get pulled over, you will spend tomorrow in jail. There are no hearings. There's no bail settings. None of that. You will not be home for Thanksgiving dinner. Be very, very careful. There's nothing wrong with going out and having a couple drinks. Now, here's a little recipe. For every glass or bottle of alcohol you consume, drink 2 glasses of water. That'll help chill you, okay? So just be very careful. Be very mindful. The police are out there. They are looking. Last year alone, between 6 a.m. and 4 a.m., that would be Wednesday through Thursday morning, 177 arrests in the state of Michigan last year alone. 177 people were not with their families for Thanksgiving dinner because they stupidly drank and got behind the wheel of a car. I don't care if you think you are okay to drive. If you drink, get a designated driver, have someone pick you up, call a taxi, do whatever you have to do. But please be careful, not only for yourself, but for obviously those you put in harm's way as well. All right, let's get to some audio. I think that there's one piece that's rather long, but I want to get to it. You know, we talk about Rick Snyder a lot. I don't like the guy. I think that he's a sheep a wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm sorry. I think that he is not a moderate. I think that he is a follower and not a leader. I could go on and on and on. I just find so much about him distasteful. The problem is people have a perception that he's ethical and ultimately wants to do the right thing, and there's nothing could be further from the truth. This man is a diabolical piece of cow dung. No question that's true. Well, let's take a look inside the Snyder machine. This audio, by the way, is from WXYZ-TV. Let's check it out.
Well, it's what he didn't say that's raising questions. For a governor who's promised to make state government more transparent, he doesn't seem eager to take his own advice.
Michigan has tried career politicians.
When Rick Snyder ran for governor, he challenged voters to pick him over a slew of other politicians because he wasn't one.
It's time for a nerd.
Well, the nerd won in a landslide, but just over a month after taking office, he borrowed a page from some of those politicians, starting a fund that could take in and spend all the money it wanted to, all in secret. His new energy to reinvent and diversify, or Nerd Fund, is the same kind of nonprofit that others have gotten into trouble for. Take Kwame Kilpatrick. The feds say he pillaged his, using it for things like ritzy vacations, political polling, and hiding bribes. Bob Vacano's fund paid his old deputy, Turkia Mullen, a secret $75,000 salary, courtesy of the businesses that wanted county contracts. Nonprofit experts like George Smith say these kinds of funds are easy to abuse.
The money can come in, the money can be spent, and there's no one to ever say, what are you really doing with it?
That's because unlike campaign funds where politicians have to disclose who gives and how much, these nonprofits operate in the shadows. Snyder's fund was founded to lessen the burdens of government and promote the state's common good.
That includes buying a private new security system for the governor's Ann Arbor home and some new furniture, too, costing more than $130,000.
But that's chump change when you see just how much the fund raised last year alone.
alone more than $1.3 million. According to the fund's president, funds were also raised to pay for the governor and his staff to travel around the country to promote the state and to help fight a recall effort that Snyder thought he might face last year. All the money comes from secret donors.
You either have very strong convictions or you want a favor done. That's the only thing I can see. You must be getting something for the money you're giving.
Not all nonprofits keep their donors a secret. Just ask L. Brooks Patterson for his, and he'll email a list right over. But when we asked Snyder's office, we were told no. Said his spokeswoman, Sarah Werfel, donors and amounts will not be disclosed. And that surprised us, because it wasn't that long ago that her boss said this.
It's absolutely critical that we have accountability and transparency in financial information.
In fact, accountability and transparency are some of the governor's favorite words.
Better accountability and transparency.
Accountability and transparency.
Accountability and transparency.
Better accountability and transparency.
You might be the state's biggest proponent for transparency, but donors to your nerd fund are a secret. Why is that?
We're complying with the law. This is just the normal practice.
Snyder wouldn't agree to a sit-down interview. Instead, his office told us to find him at a public appearance. We did, and we're only allowed to ask two questions.
There's nothing that exciting about it, and we're just following the rules and moving ahead.
If there's nothing exciting or controversial about it, why not release the donors?
Well, again, we got so many different activities. We're making sure we comply with the law.
But are you more beholden to the donor, to the fund, sir, or to the taxpayer?
We've got to get the governor going.
And after that, a whole 32 seconds, our interview was over.
People don't write 5-, 6-, 7-figure checks for selfless reasons. Most of these people don't want to be in the spotlight. They don't want transparency for what they're doing.
And to nonprofit experts like George Smith, all that secrecy raises one troubling question.
They're trying to garner favors, and they don't want the general public to know it. If you feel strongly about this fund, wouldn't you be, and you're giving it money, why wouldn't you be proud to say you're giving this fund money?
Snyder's office also tells us that the fund paid for a new press auditorium at their Lansing offices and helped sponsor a dinner for the NAACP, and no one would argue those expenses aren't legitimate. But watchdog groups agree. If Snyder wants state government to be more transparent, his own fund might be a good place to start. And maybe they finally are tonight. Late today, I talked with the fund's president, who's agreed to be interviewed about the fund next week. In the board of directors' quarterly conference call that takes place in the morning, well, they've invited me to listen in on it. I'm Ross Jones, 7 Action News.
All right, well, that doesn't mean transparency, especially when you have advance notice. The press is coming, so, you know, we got to be really careful about the way we follow this story. But transparency is a big deal. And let me share with you a story that, for those of you that don't recall, but when Governor Snyder went to the Republican National Convention, they took up, I believe it was 3 rooms. The cost of those 3 rooms and travel was almost $30,000. $30,000. Now, it came out of this nerd fund. So taxpayer dollars weren't being spent. Some of you will say, as this piece clearly states, that there's nothing illegal about this. But is it ethical? Is it moral? And if you really do believe in responsibility and transparency, are you being responsible and transparent? The answer to that is clearly no. By inviting Ross Jones into a conference call or giving him an opportunity to sit down and talk to the president of this fund is easily controlled. It doesn't matter really what questions Ross asked. As the governor said twice during that interview, we are following the law, which I'm sure they are. $1.3 million is a lot of money, but it's not a disgusting amount of money for a fund like this. Do we know that there's not more? Nope. Do we know that there's not less? Nope. Do we know where the money's coming from? Nope. Do we really know how it's all being spent? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Should it matter? It really should. If you run on a platform of, I'm not like the other guys, and then you act like the other guys, that's a problem, especially when you are like the other guys. The public perception of Governor Snyder, especially through the media, continues to confuse me to no end. With the exception of a handful of bills and only using the veto pen once on a piece of legislation that would have been overturned in the courts anyway, and that was the voter ID law, Governor Snyder has done everything the extreme right wing in this state has asked of him and more. I believe he's afraid of these people. I told you guys a couple weeks ago, Anthony and I were driving home one day, and we had this conversation. It went something like this. How many mornings do you think the governor gets up and says, what the hell was I thinking? I don't think he had any idea what it meant to be a politician. I don't think anybody ever expected him to win. And I've got to take you to the very end of the primary season, just after he wins in the primary, when it was clear that he shouldn't have and did. The Republican Party freaked out. Freaked out. But that's okay. They knew what they needed to do. They coddled him. They got up next to him. They snuggled with him. They made sure they inserted into his cabinet seasoned Republican professionals that knew how to milk the system and how to really, really hurt the state for political and personal and financial gain. The governor wasn't smart enough at that point to say no, and he didn't know what he was doing. Keep in mind, the governor's inner circle at that point were not regular operatives of the Republican Party. They certainly are now. He doesn't say no very often because, frankly, he needs their money. He needs their influence because he doesn't have any of his own. He is clearly a multiple personality governor. He can be chameleon-like. He can be whatever he needs to be in front of any crowd that he has to stand in front of. But he doesn't do it by changing his personality. He does it by action, not word. You see, that's where he's been very clever. Whether he knew this intuitively or somebody taught him how to do this, he knows how to do what needs to get done for those he needs to do it for without saying, this is what I'm doing. That's one dangerous politician. And don't you think he isn't a politician at the end of the day? Quick break here. Give us a call if you'd like. 888-552-3595. Tony Trupiano with you on this day before Thanksgiving 2012. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Out of all the nastiness I've seen in the day, you were one of the few that's very honest, that's very sincere, and very true to heart. People like you, Carl Levin, and Debbie Stephanow are good for this state.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Pastor Reverend D. Alexander Bullock.
If we're organized, then we can push the elected officials to represent the people, to make sure that resources are expanded and spread throughout the region in a way that is equitable and helpful for all people. We should have no child left behind, no community left behind. We should not have a race to the bottom, but there should be a floor for the poor and indeed a roof for the rich.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
10 minutes before 7 o'clock, and welcome back to this Wednesday morning program. Pleasure to be with you. Thankful to be here as well. Let's take a look at some national stuff. I had mentioned Walmart a little bit earlier. Black Friday is going to be an important day for the employees of Walmart, and we're going to actually explore this throughout the holiday season. For those of you that have a little sense of my history with this particular topic, my initial introduction into the United Food and Commercial Workers Union was their ongoing support for Walmart workers. They have wanted to organize Walmart workers for many, many years now and have been amazingly supportive, have been very generous towards Walmart employees and continue to do that. And I do believe one day we will be successful in unionizing Walmart workers. There was a great article in yesterday's edition of The Nation, which you can find online, thenation.com. In fact, I think I posted it to the Facebook page. I did post it to the Facebook page. So you can go check it out there. But beyond that, there's an organized effort to send a message to the Walton family, one of the wealthiest families in the world, that you can't treat people. Now, here's an interesting statistics before we get to this audio. Interesting statistic. The Walton family alone owns more wealth than 45 million middle-class Americans. Combined. One family. Let's listen to this from CNN. Carol Costello talks to the vice president of Walmart.
And just a last question for you, because I've wondered about this. The wage gap in this country continues to grow ever wider. You know, we hear from economists all the time, we need a strong middle class to make our overall economy stronger. Is it Walmart's responsibility to make sure its employees can support a strong middle class lifestyle?
I mean, we're working hard every day to provide more opportunities for associates. I mean, go back to some of the things I said to you earlier about, you know,
but
how people advance within our
company. If a lot of making $15,000 a year, you can't live a strong middle-class lifestyle on that. You just can't.
Right, but our jobs, are, like I said, are some of the best jobs in the retail industry. I would challenge the numbers that you gave, about $15,000.
Well, what's an average salary for
our
Walmart
average
employee
wage? Our average wage is about $12.40 an hour for a full-time associate. We also offer comprehensive benefits packages as low as $17 a pay period, which is very affordable. We also pay quarterly bonuses, which is something that not a lot of retailers do. And just this past quarter, 82% of eligible associates received a bonus. And we know that they appreciate that. They also get a 10% discount card. So you have to factor in all of those things when you're looking for how we're helping associates. And we are, and they appreciate that at Walmart.
Okay, they don't appreciate that at Walmart, and this isn't a vocal minority of employees that are stepping up. There are people that have been there for a very long time that don't make $12 or $12.40 an hour. In fact, there are people that have been there for 5 years, 10 years, that are still making under $10 an hour. Now, there was an asshat on the Facebook page that yesterday said, well, if they don't like the job, find another one. Oh, sweet God. Yeah, because that's the answer to everything. Walmart is notorious for treating their employees like common trash. They don't care about them. One of the problems when we have a depressed employment, market is that people have a tendency, understandably, to take whatever job they can get. Well, Walmart understands that. And so they threaten these employees. Let me give you an example. If for some reason, let's say you're using a meat slicer and it breaks, it's on you. Doesn't matter why it broke. No questions asked. It's on you. You get four strikes against you. You are automatically fired without question, without due process. Doesn't matter. Four strikes, you're out. No questions asked. Is that really the way you want to treat a valued employee? I wouldn't think so. Hear what I said. It doesn't matter if it's of no fault of your own. If a piece of equipment breaks when you're using it, you are held responsible, and that is a strike against you. You are told when you hire in, if you use the word union or unionized, you will be fired on the spot. Literally, fired on the spot. Even in those positions where people are paid well, as an example, in this Nation article I read yesterday. A guy makes it works in the freezer at one of the warehouses, distribution center. Makes $20 an hour. That's decent wage, no question about it. But everything he does is timed. And if you don't do your job within a certain amount of time, you are fired. Let me make it worse. One day he literally ripped his leg open on a pallet, okay? He asked for a Band-Aid. He asked for some, you know, bandages because he was openly bleeding. His supervisor said if they did that, they would have to write him up for being careless on the job. Yet if he doesn't hurry and do his job and he doesn't fill that pallet quickly enough, he'll get fired for not keeping what they call the rate. This is ridiculous. This is no way to treat. They are racist. They treat people disrespectfully. They will not give people a steady schedule. So you might work midnights one week, days another week, afternoons another week, which is impossible to do if you have a family. If you go to this article on The Nation, there's a video there. People talk about, and you know, this one woman says, I'm 52 years old and can't afford an apartment on my wages. That's unconscionable. We're talking about the wealthiest family, one of the wealthiest families in the world. Again, the Walton family has more money than 45 million middle-class people combined. 45 million people combined. The Walton family has billions upon billions of dollars. Now, you know what? Capitalist system, that's the way it works. There's also this thing called fairness. And part of the problem, folks, are you and I. Well, maybe not me. I don't shop at Walmart. Just don't. And that's the way to solve this problem. Send that message. There was a time where Walmart's slogan was what? Do you guys remember what Walmart's slogan used to be? Made in America. That's laughable. That's laughable today. Very few of their items are made in America. They care about one thing and one thing only. Profit. At any length, at any measure, profit. They are the largest employer in this country. And when you're paying somebody an average of not $12.40 an hour, but $9.80 an hour, that's easy to do. You want to talk about what they're doing internationally? In some countries, they don't even pay their employees. They have to live off tips. This is wrong. It's just wrong. This is, by the way, a question of human rights. We're going to stay on top of this. All right, let's take a quick break here. John Austin, when we continue with the Michigan State Board of Education. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back after the top of the hour news.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch. This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
There's no accidents to report at this time, so that's some good news. However, we do have slow-moving traffic, M59 westbound between Gratiot Ave and Grossack Highway. And road construction has your traffic reduced down to one lane, I-275 northbound between Ecorse Road and Michigan Ave. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
The one and only Honey Baked. Only Honey Baked fire glazes, slow smokes, and hand finishes each and every ham and turkey breast. Unwrap a Honey Baked Thanksgiving ham or turkey, and you'll taste why it's the only one for you and your family Thanksgiving. For a store near you, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 60. Tonight, a low of 41. Tomorrow, 61 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Trying to calm the Middle East and avoid a wider...
state Hillary Clinton is in Israel talking with both Palestinians and Israeli leaders. She'll be then flying on to Cairo, where she'll meet Egypt's president, who has been personally involved in trying to broker this deal for the past several days.
Back home, millions of Americans heading out on the highway today, the busiest travel day of the year. NBC's Chris Clackham.
Nationwide, prices are about where they were last year at this time. As a result, 90% of those traveling said they'll go by car.
No luck in mediation. Hostess Brands back in court today to pursue a total shutdown of the company that makes Twinkies and Wonder Bread. And nudists in San Francisco can't bear it. That's the plan, though. Lawmakers passing a ban on nudity in public places, making it illegal to show that all over tan in the city by the bay. This is NBC News Radio. Labor woes heading into Thanksgiving. Hundreds of Walmart workers have been picketing for better conditions at the world's largest retailer. NBC's Kristen Dahlgren.
Where they expect to see signs advertising Black Friday bargains, Walmart shoppers may instead be greeted by signs of discontent from Walmart workers, promising 1,000 protests by the end of the week.
Flight attendants for U.S. Airways have voted to authorize a strike. The action comes after attendants rejected a 5-year deal with the airline. An NCAA basketball record set back in 1954 was smashed yesterday when Grinnell's Jack Taylor netted 138 points to help the Division III college to a 179-104 win over Faith Baptist. And the easy way to work off those Thanksgiving pounds? Researchers at the Mayo Clinic say everyday pacing, fidgeting, and restlessness could be as important to losing weight as regular trips to the gym. Turns out you burn up to 350 calories a day.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
Look, I'm all for modern conveniences. But ask yourself, do you really need a blender with 23 buttons just to chop an onion? At Geico, we think life should be simpler. So we make it super simple to save on car insurance. Just one click and you could be on your way to saving hundreds. Come on, people. Life doesn't have to be that complicated.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Wednesday night, November 28th at 9, Alaska is back on the Weather Channel.
When you go out there, it's dangerous.
The hit series Coast Guard Alaska.
We don't even know what the weather is we're flying into.
The mission, search, rescue, repeat.
We're willing to take a lot of risk for the chance of saving the human life.
Out here, heroes come in waves.
Let's go!
I've never been so terrified.
All new season of Coast Guard Alaska, premiering Wednesday night, November 28th at 9, only on the Weather Channel.
In part because of the advent of the e-reader, experts have been warning that the book publishing business will get tighter and more consolidated in coming years. We could see an early sign of that this morning. Wall Street Journal reports its parent company, News Corp, is talking with CBS about buying its publisher, Simon & Schuster, and joining it with its own HarperCollins. Talking is described as preliminary, so an imminent deal is not likely. The fact that Wall Street will be closed for Thanksgiving and the government will be closed the next 2 days means we get several economic readings compressed into this morning. The usual Thursday measure of weekly new jobless claim filings comes a day early. Also, we get the typically Friday University of Michigan consumer sentiment reading this morning. Analysts surveyed by MarketWatch predict declines in both reports. That would be good for jobs, not so good for sentiment. Ahead of all that, S&P futures are down a fraction, NASDAQ futures losing 2 points. Dow futures right now holding right at break even. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Homeowners, in today's world, no neighborhood is immune from burglaries. So call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer. Get a free security system with free activation and free hardware. You pay for just a $99 installation fee and monitoring services. Call right now and you'll also get 6 door and window sensors for free. Call right now, 1-888-427-1444. 1-888-427-1444. $99 installation charge. 36-month monitoring agreement at $36.99 per month. Total cost $13.31.64. Payment by credit card or electronic bank account charge. For new homeowner customers with satisfactory credit history only. Local permit fees may be required. Certain restrictions may apply. Cannot be combined with any other offer. License number CAACO6320 KY City of Louisville 483 and FLEC13003427. Call for additional numbers. Total package includes 6-door window sensors. Call now, 1-888-427-1444.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million-bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-321-9960. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-321-9960. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus 2 free extras. Go to GetProactiv.com or call 1-800-321-9960. That's 1-800-321-9960.
Solidarity. A union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union. The state of being united. An organization of workers. Justice. The administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness. Free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality. The state of quality being equal. First Shift with Tony Tripiano. It's about freaking time.
And welcome, everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, the 21st day of November, as we lead our way into the Thanksgiving Day holiday. We have some serious business to get to between now and 10 a.m., so you're going to want to sit by and take it in. I'm also going to tell you, you're going to have to take some action. Folks, I realize the election's over. I realize that you all worked very hard. I get all that. But I told you and I warned you going in to this season that once the election was over, that's when the real work would begin. Well, it's true. There's a lot going on. In this hour, we're going to be very education focused. There's a reason for that. Public education is once again, and you can look at this any way you want, is once again being attacked by the legislature and by our governor. And we need to stay on top of this stuff. This may be the most dangerous lame duck legislature in the state of Michigan, perhaps in our history. And I'm not being overly dramatic. I'm being very realistic. So, well, let's get to our first guest here in just a second. A little later on in the hour, we'll be visiting with Keith Johnson, the president of the Detroit Federation of Teachers, about the Detroit Public Schools and Robert Bob. But before we get there, let me welcome back to the show John Austin. John is, of course, you all know, is president of the State Board of Education, and I would think he did not want to go into the holiday season or this lame duck session with what's on his mind today. John, happy Thanksgiving to you, and thanks for coming back so soon after we had just talked with you.
Sir, my pleasure. It is important. I headed out to the west visit my brother with my family, so sorry to be on the road, but this is important stuff.
Well, I appreciate that. Let's start with, and of course you're familiar with this, I'm just going to throw out House Bill 5923, House Bill 6004, and Senate Bill 1358. Now, those just sound like numbers, and they are, but John, what they represent is a radical, radical departure from improving school performance. I can't make the connection here, John.
Right. Well, as you noted, the problem is it appears that they were potentially trying to use a lame duck legislature, which, as you know, is no time to do anything serious. It's only a time for trying to push stuff or sneak stuff through that you can't get done if it had full public scrutiny. So these bills represent sort of an interconnected agenda that, you know, is being cooked up by folks who used to work for the DeVos's and John Engler, who wanted to promote vouchers and really sort of dismantle our public education system. So what they're proposing and what we're trying to head off is this one bill that they introduced would basically open the door for unlimited new schools to be created and authorized by all the new authorizers that we allow unlimited online schools, unlimited schools started by companies, unlimited schools sponsored by universities, by municipalities that could be for-profit run. And if those schools got created, it creates this, you know, new incredible market of vendors of education that would be peddling their wares, you know, 1-800 Bob's Online Learning Academy, that would be able to take public dollars, that would go with the student if they signed up for what appeared to be some interesting learning experience. The problem is they want no quality control. They are determined not to have any expectations that these schools deliver good education. They just want a whole lot of new providers in the marketplace. And that's potentially the bill that they were trying to sneak through, which I think we called out and said, no, that's a huge departure. This is a new way of organizing education. And then they were going to propose and just release some details of how they might spend money, our public dollars, to let it follow students as they make these choices, which, of course, would have incredibly potentially destructive effects on every public school in the state if 5 or 10 or 20 or 30% of the resources that come with pupils who attend are now going elsewhere to unlimited, unregulated online and other learning venues.
Well, you know, John Austin, I'm just asking the question, as I'm looking at this flurry of education agenda stuff coming out in this lame duck session, they're already looking to expand the Educational Achievement Authority without even knowing if it's practical, if it works, if it's measurable. We don't even know if it's measurable yet. So how can they want to expand what is supposed to be, you know, the trouble, the 5% at the bottom, and then turn around and put into place other legislation that is not accountable, that's not measurable as well, that doesn't guarantee results, that doesn't ask for educational input? It just seems to me to be a hypocritical way to go about reforming, and I hate using that word, reforming education, John.
Well, the contradiction of the hypocrisy is it is being talked about and proposed as, we need a performance-driven education system. We need to have better outcomes. But then the set of legislative proposals absolutely do not, and they resist actively, requiring any quality control on the operators of all these new schools, any quality expectations that they'll deliver as good or better education. If you take this online academy, it could be much worse. It could be terrible. You know, huckster taking public dollars and not delivering anything of value. So that's the main contradiction. But the problem is they have a sort of interlocking set of legislative bills. This House bill that was opening a new kind of wild west of new school providers. The EAA legislation, which, you know, should be about how do you make an education achievement authority work well just to help turn around schools that are needing to be supported and turn around, but they loaded it with lots of ornaments that had to do with creating this new market of new schools. They wanted every school district in the state to keep its buildings, if they weren't using some buildings, so that some of these new schools that would be created under this other legislation could have cheap buildings available for them. They wanted to potentially have the EAA, this Education Achievement Authority, be able to authorize new schools, new charter schools anywhere in the state, not where we need them. So we're saying strip all that stuff out of the EAA bill, and let's see if it can be successful in a limited way. But with this set of new schools, unlimited new schools, unregulated, run by companies and for-profit folks, and then a new financing system that would let dollars follow to those providers, That's the stuff that we have to sort of call out, call it for what it is, and prevent and figure out how we go back to doing new innovative choices within the public school context.
Well, you know, John Austin, it is, you know, of all the things that matter to us that have children, for all the things that matter to us that are trying to raise responsible families, is making sure that we have a foundationally good education system in our communities, in our state. And as we're looking to grow the economy, as we're looking to educate our children, and one of course, the goals of every governor, of every mom or dad, of every Board of Education is to make sure our children get that good education and stay here, that they don't flee the state for lack of jobs. But if we're not strengthening our school systems, businesses don't move here. John, we don't create good middle class or better jobs. We're not creating the kind of dynamic that's competitive. And what was once really the shining star in education, which was the state of Michigan, has become this less than shiny penny.
Absolutely, and education is the ticket to opportunity for a better life for our kids. And we had getting a good K-12 education that allows you to go on to some post-secondary, one of our great universities, a community college. That's what we need to do. We have been defunding. I mean, all of this education reform stuff at the moment is not even talking about what we really need to do. We need to fund access to higher ed. We need to fund our K-12 schools better so we have great teachers and they're better supported. It's all about radically turning upside down the way we educate kids. If we open up this unregulated market of new school providers, it's going to sap incredibly the resources that every public school district, every community school needs to provide the kind of quality education that you nicely articulated as the foundation for what's important. And I think people in Michigan, they want to have great schools. They want to actually take better care of their public schools. And part of what we need to help people understand and be acting on now is any legislator that votes on this new unregulated marketplace for education is in the business of dismantling their neighborhood public school. There's a much better way to do performance funding and new choices, and we're going to be proposing those ideas as a counterweight to what's being potentially shoved at us. But first, we got to stop the shove. We have to make sure none of this happens in a lame duck legislature. Next year, when the legislature is slightly better in terms of less radical, less reactionary, it'll be a more helpful time to have a full discussion about how do we continue to improve education, how do we fund it better, not worse. And that's what we need help with.
Well, you know, and John, it seems clear to me that as we have seen the attack on, and I'm going to focus on teacher and teacher performance over the last almost 2 years now, that same scrutiny, that same, microscope isn't being used on this legislation. There's a lack of accountability. There's even a lack of definition. John, as I'm looking at this, I mean, I went and read the legislation, John. I'm just not reading an article and saying, oh, we need to talk about this. There's nothing there. John, we need to take a quick break. Can you stay with us a little longer?
Sure.
All right, great. John Austin, again, my guest, the president of the State Board of Education here in the state of Michigan. If you want to join us, feel free. I got a lot to get to on their side. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back on First Shift after we take this very quick break.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Tonight, more than 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its own destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 60. Tonight, a low of 41. Tomorrow, 61 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
There's no accidents to report at this time, so that's some good news. However, we do have slow-moving traffic, M59 westbound between Gratiot Ave and Grossbeck Highway. And road construction has your traffic reduced down to one lane, I-275 northbound between Ecorse Road and Michigan Ave. My name's Tim, and that's your Total Traffic Update.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 60. Tonight, a low of 41. Tomorrow, 61 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. John Austin, the president of the Michigan State Board of Education, is my guest. We're talking about education reform or well, maybe it's more business reform if you want to be honest about it. As we take a look at the series of proposed legislation, and I'll go back, John, to the question I was getting to before the break. We have all of these new rules with regard to accountability in the classroom for public education, but we're talking about proposed legislation that would radically change the school model here in the state of Michigan, but none of it comes with any kind of measurement tool. None of it comes with transparency or accountability. Again, going back to that hypocrisy question we had about 10 minutes ago.
And we've made so much change, you know, higher learning expectations for our kids, higher expectations that all our teachers provide, you know, excellent education. We're not providing any support for our teachers, any resources, any time, any help to try to help them deliver the goods in terms of all these high expectations we've put on our school systems. And meanwhile, these proposals are about creating really a parallel different education system that is run by many for-profit companies, online learning providers who want to get into the business of selling education to our kids. The proposals include no expectation that they're going to be delivering quality education to help our kids learn these you know, high standards, the math, science, and communications that we're asking our schools to deliver. They want to be liberated from meeting our state standards, and even want to be liberated from meeting our same assessments that our public schools, the tests that we give, which is crazy. So, we as a State Board of Education yesterday passed two resolutions that basically said stop this legislation that is about creating new schools, unregulated, freebooting new schools run by Tom, Dick, and Harry and anybody, and let's fix the EAA and walk it back to what is this Education Achievement Authority to what it needs to be. But in that discussion, we had bipartisan votes that said this new school creation bill, one of my Republican colleagues, put it very well. He said, what problem is this trying to fix? We do not need more schools and more learning vendors that may provide a worse education. We need to better help the schools that we've got deliver a great education. We need to better support our existing public schools. We don't need to create new bad schools that we have to clean up the mess later. And that's coming from a Republican on the State Board of Education.
Well, John, I'm really glad you brought that up, because my question, it's a simple question, but new does not mean better. I mean, there's no definition that says new equals better, right?
And so part of what we communicated, and we testified to the legislature, State Board colleagues and I, earlier last week, and we basically called out what you're doing in this complex of legislation under the guise of creating new choices for parents. New choices in and of themselves, new schools, new vendors in the market, that isn't a good in and of itself. A, if you're not willing to say, we guarantee or we'll work to make sure the new choice is better than the school you have. They don't want to say that because they want to allow operators who we know have a track record of delivering terrible education to open new schools. And certainly new choices make no sense if they take resources that undermine the education of all our kids and undermine the ability for existing schools to deliver the learning and the environment. I mean, who's going to pay for the teachers that we need, the support, the after-school tutoring, even the bands at the school newspaper and all the things we ask public schools to provide, because it's important to provide that experience and a wonderful school for our kids. The resources that are sucked out to funding these new learning operators are going to mean all those things go away in our public schools, as they already have been cut back because we haven't been funding our schools sufficiently.
No, these are profound challenges, and unfortunately, we just have a legislative environment right now, John Austin, that is allowing for this kind of discussion. But to take it, one of the things that I'm mindfully aware of, because I was very involved when my children were in school, was that all of the things that are being proposed through this legislation were already available through our public education system. Perhaps they needed more funding. Perhaps they needed some tweaking. Perhaps they needed more direction. But, John, if a student needed to work at home, you could do that through the public school. That would be a cyber school. I mean, all of these things are already in place.
Right, and that just exposes that's not the point of the legislation. We have, and we encourage school districts to help young people take some courses online as part of their education. But we do not need a whole bunch of new online service providers who are basically selling an education, taking public money, and not willing to say that it'll educate our kids. These are people who want to get in the business or are in the business of selling education that is likely to erode existing schools and not deliver the goods. In what they're offering. That's the problem. They don't want any quality control. Last year when we opened, when the legislature expanded the charter school cap, they actively resisted any quality expectations that new schools be run by folks who have a chance of providing a quality education. And we did allow more online learning, but we put some limits on it. This legislation would seek to run around that and say there are no limits on any of this stuff. It's a wild west of anybody that wants to sell education. We welcome you in Michigan, and it potentially has devastating effects on our learning systems, the quality of it and certainly our neighborhood schools.
John, are you optimistic that the legislature will look at the proposals or the suggestions that the State Board of Education is making and perhaps incorporate them into?
My hope is this, that we made enough collectively noise about not having them sneak through in lame duck this new school stuff, that they won't try to do that. But that was what I think they were aiming to do, to get that through before nobody knows what's happening, all this new school creation. And then next year you come and say, okay, here's the way we spend money against that. So stopping that, I think, is job one. The Education Achievement Authorities, I'm sure Keith and other Johns will talk about, is that bill is still very problematic, as we pointed out yesterday. Many people pointing out the problems that it has enablers of kind of this super choice, new school stuff in it, which need to be stripped out. But it also has problems. I mean, it takes away collective bargaining when they reboot schools. There is no reason for that in this legislation. I mean, we did just have an election at which Michigan citizens and nationally said, no, we actually do care about collective bargaining. The president and others were very clear on that. And you know, the other big concern in lame duck, as you know, was they try to push right to work while they got the vote, and they would try to push some of this education, you know, quote unquote reform, which is, you know, new private schools, new operators, in a lame duck legislature. So those two concerns are still there, that they try to jam some of this new school creation through and or jam through right to work. I think the EAA bill can be fixed. I think they're serious. The governor's folks say they're serious about fixing it, but the proof is in the pudding, and that's why, you know, we have to be vigilant and call out the legislators who have to take votes on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So everybody knows what they're doing.
We're just out of time for today. John, travel safely. A happy Thanksgiving to you, and I have a feeling we'll be talking again before the end of the year.
Thank you.
John Austin, president of the State Board of Education. We've got to get to the break, folks. You need, I'll repeat this legislation later on, but you need to call your legislators and tell them, stop this. We'll be back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
If you're looking for a box spring, it might be kind of damaged, but there's one on I-75 northbound, north of 12 Mile Road, so look out for that. Also, we have an accident blocking your right shoulder, I-94 eastbound at Oakwood Boulevard, and road construction has your off-ramp closed, I-94 eastbound at Gratiot Ave. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Drive through McDonald's today, and when you pick up $10 worth of McDonald's Arch Cards for anyone on your holiday list, you'll enjoy a free medium McCafe drink for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 60. Tonight, a low of 41. Tomorrow, 61 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first ship weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Max Richmond of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare says both programs are highly popular and very successful, and there's no economic reason to cut them. Richmond was part of a group of labor leaders and progressives who met with President Obama recently to talk about the so-called fiscal cliff looming in January. Richmond came away from that meeting believing that President Obama will protect Social Security and Medicare.
The president, after I spoke about Social Security and Medicare, he claimed that the people were with him, and he believes, I think, he has a mandate to protect beneficiaries in any way he can. And I'm hoping and I believe that he will follow through on those campaign commitments.
Richmond says a post-election poll by Lake Research Partners shows voters strongly opposed to cuts in Social Security and Medicare. That includes opposition to raising the retirement age. Majorities also support raising the income cap on the Social Security tax as a means of strengthening Social Security. Richmond says Social Security is a strong, successful program as reflected by the annual trustees report.
They announced that this program would be able to pay everybody every penny they're entitled to until the year 2034.
Walmart workers at stores around the country are poised to walk off their jobs on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Workers are pushing for changes in working conditions and a real voice on the job at the nation's largest retailer. Walmart has filed an unfair labor practice charge against the UFCW union, accusing the union of violating labor law in its Walmart campaign. Hobby Lobby plans to appeal a ruling saying the company isn't exempt from the Obama administration's contraception mandate. Jesse Russell reports.
Hobby Lobby has been denied an exemption to providing employees with emergency contraception through their group health plan. The company is run by the family of David Green, who argued in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Oklahoma that the rule violated their Christian beliefs. Judge Joe Heaton said the rule did no such thing, as Hobby Lobby is a secular, for-profit enterprise and does not possess the same religious rights as an individual. The Green family considers emergency contraception, such as the day-after pill, as an abortion drug. Hobby Lobby must comply with the new rule by January 1, 2013. If it doesn't, it could face a fine of nearly $1.3 million per day. Hobby Lobby had been providing emergency contraception until the mandate garnered significant media attention. The company said it didn't realize it was included in the health plan, so it stopped offering the contraception. Hobby Lobby is one of more than 40 companies challenging the mandate.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting support from the IBEW.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock. Welcome back. We, after our visit just now with State Board President John Austin, we now turn our attention to another leader, hero, actually. You know, if you don't believe there's a God, and I do, as you know, a lot of times the evidence is right in front of you. It's the right leadership at the right time, and my next guest certainly represents that. All of the challenges of the Detroit Public Schools that have been languishing on for way too many years. We need to go back to Governor Engler stealing the Detroit Public Schools money. We need to talk about every time the union has stepped up, the Detroit Public Schools Union have stepped up to offer advice, change, reform. They're slapped down. We take a look at how we measure and weigh all of these things, and you begin to wonder, besides the profit aspect of education, does our legislature even care about students? Well, these are all important questions. Let me bring my guest in. Joining us now is Keith Johnson. Keith is the president of the Detroit Federation of Teachers, and we welcome him back to First Shift. Keith, welcome back and happy Thanksgiving to you.
And happy Thanksgiving to you, Tony, and thank you very much for that compliment. You have no idea how much simple words like that mean.
Well, I really do believe you are the right person at the right time. We need real leadership. Many are not showing real leadership, including, by the way, Roy Roberts. He is not showing true leadership. He's not stepping up to the plate. He doesn't believe in reform. He doesn't believe in children. What he believes in is collecting his paycheck, having his driver, and trying to get through this. And, Keith, my question to you is, Roy Roberts had promised if Public Act 4 was voted down that he was going to leave. I'm waiting for the letter.
I think we're all waiting for the letter. And you know, what's really striking, Tony, After the appeals court decision on Friday, I reread the opinion written by Chief Justice Robert Young, who, let's make no mistake about it, has never been a friend of labor or unions. But one of the things he said in his opinion was that when a law is passed that repeals its predecessor, if that law is subsequently repealed, then the law that it repealed cannot be resurrected. So it's, as far as we're concerned, the Detroit Federation of Teachers, I'm sure the Detroit Board of Education, with the vote of November the 6th, the EM and the ESM law are now gone.
So therefore, the emergency financial management position no longer exists.
Yes, but the Court of Appeals, as you know, have said that Public Act 72 is still in effect. So, Keith, how do we navigate through this?
Well, I think first and foremost, I do know that ruling has now been appealed to the state Supreme Court. So it'll be interesting to see what the court decides. But if indeed, let's look at the worst case scenario. If indeed they maintain that Public Act 72 remains in effect, then Roy Roberts has a duty to bargain. It is clearly stated in Public Act 72. But I think what's equally important here is while you can give Roy Roberts credit and we have to for bringing down the deficit or at least restructuring it so that DPS has more operating room from a financial standpoint, from an academic standpoint, you know, you've given away 15 schools, which in effect hinders your ability to climb yourselves out of debt. And then when you look at the schools that were turned over, some of those schools, A, were not on the lowest performing list, and B, at least four of them, Henry Ford High School, Denby High School, the brand new state-of-the-art $52 million Mumford High School, as well as the Bethune at Fitzgerald School, were all turned over to EAA. And these were schools that were either renovated or rebuilt as a direct result of the $500.5 million bond that these voters passed in 2009. So the question at the end of the day, are we better off academically under the leadership of Roy Roberts than we were before his arrival? And when I go to schools and I hear from teachers that are complaining about 42 students in a kindergarten classroom, two fourth grade classes that combined have 80 students in them, and now principals are being told that they have to lose teacher service, which is going to further exacerbate the problem of class size, how can he possibly say that he is looking out for the interests of every child in Detroit?
Well, Keith Johnson, you know, I'm going to call it educational rape, and I don't mean to be so rude, but I believe that that's what Roy Roberts has committed, educational rape. When we run schools as strictly businesses, it's kind of like the governor trying to run the state as a business. It's dysfunctional. It can't work. It's not a model that's set up for that. And you couldn't be more accurate. When are we going to start focusing on education reform? When are we going to start supporting the teacher in the classroom? When are we going to allow schools to hire more parapros? I could go on all day long, but you said it perfectly. PA 72 absolutely guarantees the right to collective bargain. And let me remind this audience, the last time you were with us, Keith, you were with us because the emergency manager, Roy Roberts, is trying to impose his dictatorial style business model on your members. It's wrong, it's sick, and it has to stop.
Absolutely. And to that end, we have filed an unfair labor practice, and in fact, we have a Merck hearing on that issue on January the 8th. I sent a demand letter for him to negotiate, which he has already rejected. But, you know, if you look at PA 72, it is clear that he has a duty to negotiate. But, you know, what's really troubling is that Roy Roberts says that if he doesn't have absolute power, then he's going to walk away. Okay, well, then walk away. But I think what's even more telling, you're saying that unless you can do it your way, unconditionally, you don't want the job. And that runs antithetical to everything that has proven to be successful in terms of moving a business, a school district, or any other entity forward. You sit down with the stakeholders and you find out what can we do collaboratively in order to get from where we are to where we need to be. It cannot go through dictation. Dictation never works.
You know, Keith, this brings me back to a conversation, I don't know when we have it, but it brings me back to a conversation we had some time back about, you know, forget the will of the teachers, forget the will of the union. What about the will of the parents? you know, does anybody ever ask the parent, what do you think is best? Now, you and I both know, because we interact with these folks, we don't live in a bubble. You and I both know that parents are not happy with the EAA. And let's talk about the EAA now, because what you just told us is they didn't take the top or the bottom 5% of schools. They cherry-picked that list, and they picked whatever they thought would be the most successful business model for the EAA. Now they're trying to expand it without even knowing if it works.
Exactly. And you know, I saw the governor on Flashpoint on Sunday, and he was talking about how well EAA is working. I don't know what schools he has visited. I know that there were some people who went up to Lansing and gave these grand testimonies about how beautiful it is. But just like the schools were cherry-picked, those people were cherry-picked. When I've gone into some of the EAA schools, such as Henry Ford, it's been completely off the hook. Nolan, completely off the hook. And in fact, what Nolan is doing, because they're having such a problem with student behavior, they've been kicking those students out, and now those students are arriving in schools like Greenfield Union, schools like Mason at Farwell, and even Davidson, and upsetting the learning environment at those schools. And, you know, when you and I talked before, Tony, one of the things that we shared was that it doesn't matter whether you call it EAA, ABC, or XYZ, you still have those same inherent inhibitors to student learning, such as attendance, such as violence and gangs. You still have the problem of students who are so far behind in reading levels that it's difficult for them to catch up. And yet EAA came in with all these grandiose promises of all these things that they were going to do. And quite frankly, from what I have seen, it's not happening. Now, after the Thanksgiving break, I'm going back into some of these schools and see if it's any different in November than it was in late September when I first visited them.
Well, I can almost guarantee you the answer to that, but I'll play the optimist, Keith Johnson, here for just a little while longer. You know, ultimately, we want to build safe communities. We want to, you know, and we're gonna, you know, we're gonna have this conversation over and over and over again. The domino effect of the decisions that this governor and this legislature make continue to ignore certain realities that truly the core of every community is its public education system. And as we continue to decimate the public education system, as we continue to dismantle it for profit, and Keith, we just need to be honest about it. This is about money, pure and simple. It is truly about money. Keith, we've got to take a quick break. Can you stay with us a little longer?
Absolutely.
Good. Keith Johnson, president of the Detroit Federation of Teachers, is my guest. We have a lot more to get to on the other side of this break. If you'd like to join us, by the way, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. It starts with the Detroit Public Schools. What they're doing with EAA will then become a statewide program. And the school you have come to love and adore, the school that's actually doing well, that's treating your children properly, you want that changed? You're not going to have a choice. It's time we stand up. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what you look like or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or young or old or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight. You can make it here.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
It is 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. Welcome back to First Shift. My guest is Keith Johnson, president of the Detroit Federation of Teachers, and we're talking about Roy Roberts, the Detroit Public Schools, the Educational Achievement Authority, as we talked with John Austin in the last half hour, Keith, about all of the proposed quote-unquote reforms, everything from financing to more charter schools to more cyber schools. To allowing parents to take over schools, our displaced priorities continue to just give me a throbbing headache. But, Keith, I'm going to go back to something I said before the break. At the end of the day, this is all about money, and it's not all about saving money. It's all about who gets to keep the money, not who gets to spend it or how it's spent, but who gets to keep it.
Well, Tony, I've called it urban pimping. And because that is exactly what it comes down to. And, you know, this dates back to 1999, and people have heard this before. In 1999, we had a $93 million budget surplus. Our scores were going up. The district was moving forward. We had a great superintendent in Dr. Eddie Green, who is truly one of the great masters of curriculum that I've ever encountered in my 33 years in education. But we also had what was left of a $1.4 billion bond. And it was at that point that all of a sudden Governor Engler decided he had an interest in Detroit public schools. And when you look at the fact that for 11 of the last 13 years, in various forms, we've been under the auspices of the state, it's rather disingenuous for Governor Snyder or even Governor Granholm before him to talk about Detroit's inability to educate its children when for 11 of the last 13 years we've been under state control.
Yeah, that isn't even a little bit curious because, again, we play the shell game with the money. I'm just going to say this the only way I know how to say it. John Engler was literally the beginning of the end of a fine public school system in the city of Detroit based on greed. He wanted the money. That son of a bitch went and took that money, and since then, and you know what, Keith, if the state were doing such a great job, if Roy Roberts were doing such a great job, or anybody else that's had that position is doing such a great job, why in the hell are we still under state control? They don't know what the hell they're doing.
You're absolutely right. And who is the determiner? And what are the determinants as to when state control is no longer necessary? You know, what it appears to me is that rather than investing in the resources that are necessary to address the areas of deficiency, that especially under these new proposals that are being discussed in the legislature now, they're pretty much saying, well, for those schools that are experiencing either academic or fiscal challenges, we're just going to pretty much write them off. And we're going to create cyber schools. We're going to give parents the opportunity to establish schools of their own, or a group of businessmen can decide, okay, we're going to just confiscate these schools, commandeer these schools, and we're going to run them our way. You know, schools and children, unlike any other business, are not things that you can say, okay, well, this isn't working, let's start over. You need to have a comprehensive, long-term, sustainable plan in order to effectively educate children. Look at those school districts where it is working. You know, and one thing you'll find is cohesion in their plan, but then, of course, they also have the resources that are necessary in order to fill some of the academic gaps that help to move their children forward. In communities like Detroit, Saginaw, Flint, Benton Harbor, Highland Park, Hamtramck, Allen Park, where you're having a greater degree of economic recession, then these communities are the ones that are suffering. And so rather than trying to energize and reinforce like you would do with a levy that has some cracks, what they're simply willing to do is let the dam burst. And what ends up happening, Tony, those children who are left behind end up having fewer resources in order to help them, and whether they're high needs or at-risk children or educationally disabled children as defined under Section 504, which is a civil rights law that says that if a child is educationally disabled, you must provide the resources in order to fill the gaps of deficiency in order to optimize that child's opportunity to be successful. They're just ignoring all of this.
Yes, they are, because charter school isn't held to that same standard. Cyber school is not held to that same standard. And, you know, Keith, one of the things that absolutely breaks my heart is every time the people of the city of Detroit are asked to vote on providing more funding for the Detroit public schools, almost always they say yes. And how have they been rewarded? By the state confiscating their tax dollars and not honoring the promises that were made. And I'm going to go back to just the simplest tenet of this, Keith. When was the last time one of these people, when was the last time a legislature went to a teacher and said, how do we make this better? They don't do it.
No, it does not happen. And what's really depressing is someone who lives in the city of Detroit, because I refuse to give up on the city of Detroit. I still live here, is that people in Lansing seem to, and that's just telling the people of Detroit, you are incapable of governing yourself. So therefore, we are going to run your lives. We're going to run your city. We're going to run your school district. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. And when citizens in this city see that happening, and there doesn't seem to be any recourse through the court system or anywhere else, then people simply submit. I refuse to submit. I refuse to give in to this.
And I support that 100%. Keith Johnson, again, the president of the Detroit Federation of Teachers. Certainly, Keith, we're watching this, the legislation that they're trying to move in the lame duck. And I'm hoping after speaking with John Austin, I feel a little better that they're going to be able to slow that train down a little bit. But I want to go back to the $1.8 billion that was given to business and taken away from education. You know, let's dream of a world where we infuse $1.8 billion. Oh, by the way, Keith, if I recall correctly, it was their money anyway. Well, I mean, my point is, for those that aren't taking this seriously, It is truly, and I just have to say it the way it is, it's the Republicans that are dismantling, literally dismantling and taking away opportunity for the next generation of leaders. They are not going to leave because they want to. They're going to leave because they have to.
Well, you know, there's a mean-spiritedness associated with this particular crop of Republicans that I think we have to trace to the mentality of the so-called teabaggers, the Tea Party people. You heard Governor Romney during his campaign, although he didn't intend for it to come out, make reference to the 47%. Well, guess what, Tony? You and I are in that 47%.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're the everyday hardworking people, as are the people in the city of Detroit.
And we're going to have to, Keith, we're going to have to leave it there. We're just out of time. Brother, have a great Thanksgiving, and you know we're here when you need us.
Thank you so much, Tony. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Thank you. Leadership, right, folks. That's what it looks like. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
If you're looking for a box spring, it might be kind of damaged, but there's one on I-75 northbound, north of 12 Mile Road, so look out for that. Also, we have an accident blocking your right shoulder, I-94 eastbound at Oakwood Boulevard, and road construction has your off-ramp closed, I-94 eastbound at Gratiot Ave. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 60. Tonight, a low of 41. Tomorrow, 61 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first ship weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Ship with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Kleszewski. More violence derailing attempts to find peace in the Middle East. A bomb has ripped through an Israeli bus near the nation's military headquarters in Tel Aviv. NBC's Stephanie Gusk.
The blast took place on a commuter bus in central Tel Aviv. We're told 16 people were wounded, two of them seriously.
Meantime, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton back in Jerusalem for another round of talks aimed at a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas militants in Gaza. Tens of millions of Americans head out on the highway today. It's one of the busiest travel days of the year. And just in time, gas prices up 2 cents overnight. Twilight time for Twinkies? CNBC's Seema Modi says Hostess brands failed to come to terms with striking bakers, and it could be curtains in court today.
Hostess, which makes Twinkies, Wonder Bread, and Drake's Cakes, will ask the judge to approve a plan to begin liquidating the 82-year-old company and sell off its assets.
This is NBC News Radio. Turkey stuffed consumers will be jamming the stores earlier this year as more retailers plan to open on Thanksgiving Eve. That's one of the reasons hundreds of Walmart employees will be picketing. NBC's Mark Potter.
Outside a Walmart supercenter near Los Angeles, store workers and supporters are complaining about what they claim are low wages, short hours, and retaliation for complaining.
Flight attendants for U.S. Airways have voted to authorize a strike. The action comes after attendants rejected a 5-year deal with the airline, but they'll wait until after Thanksgiving weekend. Keep your shirt on, San Francisco. Pants, too. Now the supervisors have approved a ban on public nudity. The measure passed just barely on a 6-5 vote. And President Obama getting ready to pardon the White House turkey later today. But animal rights groups say that's a turkey of an idea. PETA calls the pardoning a sorely outdated event that makes light of the mass slaughter of 46 million gentle, intelligent birds. I'm Jim Kleszewski, NBC News Radio.
If you've ever wanted a truly spectacular diamond ring, you'll want to visit Jared this Friday through Monday. That's because this Friday through Monday, when you purchase your diamond at Jared, you'll receive up to a $1,000 reward toward the purchase of a beautiful diamond setting. Choose from thousands of diamonds and have your own one-of-a-kind ring created right here at Jared. Get set in diamonds this Friday through Monday for a reward worth up to $1,000 only at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
This Friday after Thanksgiving at Ace.
The weekend is coming!
Take back Black Friday with a slow cooker on sale for $7.99 plus a $5 mail-in rebate.
The weekend is coming!
So visit your local Ace and get saving, then get your weekend back. At Ace, the helpful place. $11.99 value limit, one rebate per person, only valid Friday, November 23rd. Additional conditions may apply.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
See store for details.
Federal agencies have been switching their smartphone carriers en masse, and now a new one is dropping the BlackBerry in favor of the iPhone. National Transportation Safety Board joins the TSA, Immigration Customs Enforcement, and the whole Defense Department in becoming iPhone carriers, saying BlackBerries, once considered almost untouchable for their reliability, are now less reliable than iPhones. If you're still putting your holiday shopping list together, it's looking like Swiss watches are hot. Switzerland's customs office is reporting exports of watches rose more than 13% in October, led by luxury makers whose watches often sell for more than $12,000. European stock markets are holding at near break-even levels. Holding back the chance to rally is where the Eurozone and International Monetary Fund, after pushing Greece to strike an austere budget in return for more emergency funding, can't agree now on what form that funding ought to take. Ahead of reports on new jobless claims and consumer sentiment, S&P futures are down a point. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Homeowners, in today's world, no neighborhood is immune from burglaries. So call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer. Get a free security system with free activation and free hardware. You pay for just a $99 installation fee and monitoring services. Call right now and you'll also get 6 door and window sensors for free. Call right now, 1-888-427-1444. 1-888-427-1444. $99 installation charge. 36-month monitoring agreement at $36.99 per month. Total cost $13.31.64. Payment by credit card or electronic bank account charge. For new homeowner customers with satisfactory credit history only. Local permit fees may be required. Certain restrictions may apply. Cannot be combined with any other offer. License number CAACO6320KY, City of Louisville, 483, and FLEC13003427. Call for additional numbers. Total package includes 6-door window sensors. Call now, 1-888-427-1444.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-321-9960. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-321-9960. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-321-9960. That's 1-800-321-9960.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift.
With Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 21st, 2012, the day before Thanksgiving. Very much looking forward to the holiday. We have a great hour of radio. In fact, the next 2 hours are going to be great. Looking forward to them. And then, you know, I'm off for 4 days. Looking forward to that. I, by the way, begin my holiday weekend by raking leaves, and I'm hoping this is the last time. Oh, am I hoping this is the last time? Anyway, we've got a lot to get to, so let's get an intro in and let's get this going.
editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal.
Recall, in my mind, is for malfeasance in office. It's for the rare occasion when you have somebody who says, I will do X, and then does Y. I mean, even then, I think it's got to be a very egregious instance of that to justify a recall.
The Detroit Free Press's and First Shift Voice of Reason.
The question becomes, how much of a serious discussion is this? How much of a productive discussion is this?
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And joining us now on this pre-Thanksgiving Day show is our friend Stephen Henderson. And Stephen, let me wish you a happy Thanksgiving as we head into what's going to be a pretty nice weekend.
Yes, it should be. It's supposed to be 60 tomorrow, I guess.
Yes, and I'll take it.
But, you know, there's no global warming. The planet's not getting hotter.
Yeah, let's start off today by talking a little bit about the Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is still a shining jewel. It is still an event. It is still a tradition for thousands upon thousands of Michigan families, something that we can be very, very proud of.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, Thanksgiving is probably my favorite day of the year in Detroit, partially because of the parade, you know, which I think the first time I went, I was two or three, and now I can take my kids, and they get to see some of the same floats, in fact, that were in the parade then, and some of the same big heads, which are my favorite part of the parade. You know, it's one of those really great days in the city where, you know, there are just thousands and thousands of people down there, and everyone's just having a good time. Nobody's worried about anything. Nobody's mad at anyone. There are people from all over the place that you meet when you're down there. And I feel like it's getting to be a bigger crowd even because of the people who are living downtown. I mean, all these people who live now just moved into the Broderick Tower at Adams and Woodward, or at Park and Woodward, I think. They'll just walk out of their doors to watch the parade. So it makes for more of an atmosphere. I mean, there's just a lot of people doing a lot of things and being excited about the city.
No, for those that have not been, and it was our Facebook poll question yesterday, who was going to go, who wasn't going to go. For those that have never been, you need to do yourself the favor of going because you will get to experience what five decades ago people experienced, some minor changes, but for all intents and purposes. But Stephen, the best part about going to the parade, and I went for many, many years, was that early morning crowd watching entire families, you know, stake out their spot, get set up, drinking their hot chocolate or their coffee. And you're right, there's laughter, there's smiles, there's joking around, there's goofiness. It's everything it's festive.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's the one, you know, it's really the only time that I can think of that the city feels like that. We're getting close, on the night that we light the tree now at Campus Martius. And that's far fewer people, obviously, but there's that same sort of, festivity in downtown now, around that event. And there's lots of other events that now go with it.
Well,
the parade is for everyone. I mean, it's just, you know, the Woodward's packed from Warren down to the river, and it's just not something you see very frequently anymore.
Yeah, it's a beautiful experience. I happened to be downtown last Friday night, and Woodward was lit up with all the lights, and I can't begin to tell you. I came home. In fact, my son, by the way, just moved downtown. He and a friend.
Oh, really?
They just moved downtown, And I got home from the event that I was at on Friday night, and just I couldn't say enough to my wife about how beautiful Detroit looked, and it looked gorgeous.
Yeah, no, it really is something what they've done. I mean, and that's I believe, and I don't want to give credit or leave anyone out of the credit, but I think that has to do with the Somerset Loft people who are doing some storefronts down there. This holiday, they've really dressed up those storefronts so that, you know, my wife and I were down there, and she said, it feels like a big city down here. And I can remember when it was a big city down there and that all those shops were full and then full of people. This was the first time that I sort of walked through there and almost was like transported back to, you know, the 70s or maybe the early 80s, which would have been the last time that Detroit looked and felt like that. So that's really cool, and it shows that we're headed in back in that direction. No, we're never going to have as many people as we did then. We're not going to, you know, repopulate downtown with commerce the way it was before, but we're headed back toward that direction, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, and in spite of a lot of the negative stuff that's going on, and there is a lot of positive going on. There are a lot of younger people moving downtown. I find it fascinating as you kind of just, if you spend any time at all downtown, there is a renewed spirit, there is a renewed energy. And, you know, one of the things that I've always loved about the city of Detroit, especially those that are still there that have hung in there, Stephen, you didn't have to move into the city. You could have lived anywhere you wanted to live in metropolitan Detroit. For those of us that love the city, we're just not willing to give up, and we're not going to give up.
No, I mean, you know, I live blocks from most of the places I lived as a kid, and you know that has value to me, and I think value to my kids because they get to experience a lot of things that I did. But you're right. I mean, even bigger than that is this sense that, you know, the city can't come back if everybody just sort of gives up on it. I mean, we can't fix what's wrong if everyone decides, well, let's just not even deal with downtown. And even if you don't live in the city, I mean, coming down and being part of things, which I think a lot more people are doing right now, is a way to help make it better and help bring it back. So, you know, this is a hard place, but it breeds tough people, is what I've always said. And, you know, we'll get through it, and we'll get to the place where things are better.
No, and tomorrow will be a shining example of what's possible. We really, if we're going to give credit, we also need to give credit to Art Van, who, of course, saved the parade. They continue to provide lots of money to support that. You know, we actually have a great deal to be proud of. We have the Illich family, who is, I mean, we can't even count all of the gifts they've given the city. Dan Gilbert, the Carmanos family, and we could go on and on. And Stephen, there are some people that have truly been there through thick and thin, that are willing to make the investments, that they're making, that are willing to be patient, that are willing to invest. And this is really an important time for that. And we need to be grateful for them. If we're going to be thankful, that's something to be very thankful for.
Yeah, I mean, finally we've got the private interests in town all, I think, working together and sort of rowing in the same direction, trying to figure out what they can do and being willing to do it. I mean, and I think, you know, they're still taking risk because there's no guarantee that any of this stuff will stick or hold or be here 5 years from now, but they really are sort of all in on the idea that if you create density in downtown, you'll start to fix a lot of the other problems that we have. It won't solve every problem, but a healthy center city and sort of central core of Detroit is one cog in the machine of a healthy Detroit.
And it grows from there, Stephen. I mean, that's really a profound point. And I'll tell you, even my son's experience trying to find a place to live. I'm happy to say that his options were very limited.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, used to be you could go down there and get an apartment anywhere you wanted for not very much money. Last I checked, most places are full, and so people are waiting to get apartments. I think the Broderick, when it opened recently, opened full. I mean, I don't think there are any available apartments in that. And that's a tall, big building. So that's a great thing.
It is a great thing. Well, I want to encourage people that if you've got the time, go downtown tomorrow. Go early. There are vendors. There's lots to do. You can do some walking around. It's such an extraordinary experience. Watching it on television doesn't come close.
No, it really doesn't.
No,
it really doesn't.
It doesn't come close to actually being there. And here's the good news. The weather's going to be nice. I mean, I've been down there when it was so cold you could, you know, you could literally write in your breath as it, I mean, it was crazy. But they're not going to be that way tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the perfect day to go.
Yeah, well, and, you know, we have two other events now that go on, too. I mean, you've got the Turkey Trot, which some really good friends of ours who go with us to the parade, they go run that and then go to the parade. And then you have the Lions game, which is, you know, what has always been on Thanksgiving, but now that, you know, we've got Ford Field, you have a tailgate going on in downtown Detroit at the same time the parade's going. So.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick break here. Steven Henderson, my guest with the Detroit Free Press. We'll take the break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trivino.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Crews are still working on clearing up that earlier reported accident blocking the right shoulder at I-94 eastbound at Oakwood Boulevard. And we have a disabled vehicle blocking your left lane, M-59 westbound before Van Dyke Ave, and heavy traffic along I-94 westbound between Chalmers Street and I-75. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 60. Tonight, a low of 41. Tomorrow, 61 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work
on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Stephen Henderson, my guest. He is the host of American Black Journal on PBS and the editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press. We're going to go to the phones and welcome Tom in Detroit to First Shift. Tom, good morning. Thanks for punching in. You're on the air with Stephen Henderson.
And good morning to both of you. You know what? You're talking about one of my favorite subjects is Detroit. And, I mean, I go back to the days when dinosaurs roamed, when this place was almost 2 million populated. And, you know, downtown at Christmas time, it was a wonderland. And, you know, and I mean, even today, I mean, you know, with, you know, like Steve said, they've got a new bunch of people are moving back into downtown, and there's like a synergy down there. And I mean, the parade, I don't get down there anymore, but I mean, I'm sitting in the confines of my home with the best seat in the house, and I check it out. But, you know, also the, International Jazz Festival, there's a spirit there as well. And, you know, and then I'd like to say this. I'd like to thank guys like Dan Gilbert, Roger Penske, Matt Cullen, Mike Illich, you know, those guys, to use that term, the 1%, who put their money where their mouth is. No, physically they don't live in the confines of the city, but in terms of the dollar bills that they are pouring into this city, you know what? Action speaks louder than words. And I mean, Dan Gilbert, buy up all of downtown, fix the office space and the lofts so we can have a ton of people move in. And like Steve said, eventually it'll, like the sun does, when the sun comes up, everything radiates, and hopefully it'll make it out to the neighborhood.
Well, Tom, thank you for the call, and happy Thanksgiving to you. You know, Stephen, he makes a good point. Let's also remember that these businessmen are businessmen at the end of the day. They're not doing this just for charitable reasons, and I'm not saying that because I want, hey, they're going to make money. Of course they're going to make money, but you said there's still a risk involved.
Oh, there's a tremendous risk, especially for Gilbert, who, in my opinion, has, you know, really almost over-invested in a lot of the properties downtown. And you know, it's true that if we don't get more people sort of supporting that, you know, he could wind up, holding the bag on a bunch of properties that are still not worth very much in a little while. But he believes in what he's doing. He figures, at some point, I'll make money off this, because, you know, that's his job. But, you know, there wasn't, I don't think, a great financial case to make to buy a lot of those places, and invest as much as they're investing. I mean, it really is, a big sort of, a strategy that's bigger than the corporate bottom line. Dan Gilbert's got, urban planners now working with him, to try to strategize how to put these pieces together and how to encourage the kind of development that's going to matter in those buildings. That's not a very that's not his job. He's not an urban planner. He owns a mortgage company. It's his principal business. So there's a lot of risk that he's taken on, and he thinks it's worth it. I hope he's right, you know, and I hope other people follow him so that they minimize that risk.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's, and I don't certainly want to dull the silver lining we've been talking about today, but the city, as we talk about all the good things that are happening from a government standpoint and from a financial standpoint, Stephen, as we've talked about so much over the last year or so, there are challenges, and the city council and the mayor are still butting heads, and it just doesn't look like things are going to get better anytime soon.
Yeah, boy, it's just maddening. The stuff that they're fighting over, and the sort of intractable differences they manage to find in issues that are somewhat insignificant, but because they're just sort of at each other, and it's such a stark contrast to the stuff that we were just talking about. You know, you've got all this sort of private momentum going in the city, and finally that part of our community is doing its part, but we can't get governance to sort of match that with the kind of energy and competence that we need. So now we sit again on the precipice of this financial disaster, and no one knows how real that is. You know, will the state just let us go bankrupt or come in at the last minute and give us more money to get by? But it all masks this bigger conversation we need to have about restructuring the city. We've been talking about this now forever, and the city council agreed to help restructure through the consent agreement and has done nothing since then but sort of throw up roadblocks. Well, you know, it's the yes-no sort of syndrome down there. And, you know, you're either in or you're out at this point. And if you're out, you need to get out of the way so we can do it some other way. But quit obstructing is really the lesson there.
I guess I'll never fully comprehend, and I don't know that anybody will, this adversarial relationship between the chief executive's office, which would be the mayor, and the city council. It almost seems like the more things change, the more they stay the same. I hate to use that cliche, but it's just so profoundly true, Stephen, and so frustrating.
It is, because you know, I think when we elected all of these folks back in 2009, you know, we elected a new council majority, and Bing was a new mayor. We figured they'd all work together. That council majority would work with the mayor to get stuff done. I mean, there are a lot of reasons that relationship went sour. Not all of them are council's fault. I don't know that the mayor's been the best at forging the kind of relationships with them that he needs. But the people who suffer are the ones, you know, those of us who live here. You know, we still don't have the lights on all over the city. Cops don't come when you call them. You know, the city is breaking down in terms of delivering basic services, and government has got to take responsibility for that. That's all we need them to do, frankly, because you have these private interests downtown taking care of other stuff. So if we can get them to concentrate on that and fix the financial problem so that that's possible, we really could change some stuff around here.
Well, and we need to be mindful, and this is just a reality whether people want to say it out loud or not. You have a Democratic-leaning city council, a Republican state government. They don't like each other. I mean, they just don't like each other.
Yeah, they don't, and they don't trust each other. You know, there's a lot of assumption, I think, in Lansing that nobody in the city administration or the city council knows what they're doing. And there's an equal assumption in the city that everyone in the state just wants to get their hands on something valuable and snatch it away from us. So that always complicates things. And, you know, the governor, too, needs to. You know, he's an actor in this now. I mean, having signed onto the consent agreement, you know, if it fails, it's everybody's failure. You know, you're not going to be able to point fingers at city council. So the mayor and the governor, if they really want this to work, they've got to figure out a way to get that third partner to do their job.
All right, Stephen, I want to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving. Certainly thankful for the partnership that you and I have on this program, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again next week. Enjoy your holiday.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a great holiday.
Thank you. Stephen Anderson, once again, with the Detroit Free Press and American Black Journal. We are going to take a very quick break here. Lori Lamoran with Planned Parenthood at Mid and South Michigan joins us after the break.
Team 10 WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
We have a couple reports coming through on the tip line. A disabled vehicle blocking the left shoulder, I-75 northbound at 11 Mile Road. And Tipster Mike says we have stop-and-go traffic, M-59 eastbound between Mound Road and Cass Ave. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 60. Tonight, a low of 41. Tomorrow, 61 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671.
That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome, Tom in Detroit.
The one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you called it, wasted $140 million, and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think, where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels, anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It just certainly is.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
The sky is falling. The end times are upon us. It's all over for America. And it's all because of you. You, the execrable voters. This is the wretched wail of a few corporate chieftains who claim to be somewhere between flummoxed and furious that Barack Obama is back in the White House. With his diabolical Obamacare and tax-the-rich attacks on us wealthy job creators, they moan, "This president is out to destroy American business. There's a tsunami coming," cried one, "so we must save ourselves." How do these trembling titans of free enterprise intend to do that? By firing employees, thus sending a message to workers that voting for Democrats is bad for their health. "Elections have consequences," exclaimed a Las Vegas boss after offing 22 workers the day after Obama was reelected. Echoing this self-serving political ethic, a Georgia executive told C-SPAN that his fear of Obamacare made him fire enough workers to exempt his business from providing health care. "I tried to make sure that the people I had to lay off voted for Obama," he noted, spewing spite. Then there's Papa John's, the billion-dollar-a-year fast food chain. John Schnatter, the present papa of Papa John's, had warned this summer that he'd jack up the consumer price of the chain's pizza if Obama won, because he was not going to eat the cost of assuring health coverage for employees. Post-election, however, Schnatter has decided not to slap his customers, but to slap Papa John's workers instead by cutting their hours to part-time so he doesn't have to pay for their coverage. "That's what you do," Schnatter snapped. "You pass on costs." This is Jim Hightower saying, "That's what you do," and what an exemplary way for the millionaire boss to boost productivity, loyalty, and morale of those who do the actual work that make customers want to buy Papa John's pizza, or not.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show. Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back indeed. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. That means one thing. It's time for our weekly visit with Planned Parenthood. Let's get to the intro.
Their reach matters.
And in a year where the most basic truths and access to help is as critical as it has ever been.
Many people in the news are talking about a war on women and others are denying it.
First Shift is proud to welcome to our airwaves an organization who continues to be the center of empowerment and honesty.
But certainly any objective look at the kinds of policies, etc., that some of the states are putting forward and being endorsed by the Republican candidate certainly would suggest that we don't think women are an important part of society.
And as they continue to provide services that save lives and provide a path to sanity.
First Shift proudly brings you the gift of Planned Parenthood.
Yes, and one of the many special gifts to society is the woman that's on the phone with us right now, my friend Lori Lamoran. Lori, happy Thanksgiving to you. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you for inviting me out to your beautiful Detroit clinic and letting me be involved in that wonderful lecture series that began last week.
Well, happy Turkey Day to you too, Tony, and we were glad to have you there. It was a great event where we got the opportunity to do some intellectual thought processes around how healthcare impacts communities, and we were thrilled to see you there.
I had just such a great time. The event itself was wonderful. The nice little spread you had was even better. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed meeting Kathy Powers. I can't imagine that the evening could have been any nicer.
We had some really great people there. We were really glad that our board chair could join the conversation, Kathy Power, who's offered us really wonderful leadership in her time with Planned Parenthood. So, yeah, it was a wonderful evening. We had a terrific speaker. It was just a really great event. So we were glad that you were there.
Yeah, well, count me in for the next one as well. I had a great time. You know, Lori, certainly there are still challenges. We have not yet had a chance this morning to talk about House Bills 5684 and 85, but when I read yesterday that the legislature is looking to give a tax credit to a fetus in its first trimester, I did more than scratch my head on that one. I think I started banging it against the wall.
Well, this one did stump all of us, too. There was these bills were proposed in the House that would offer a tax credit to a family that had a pregnancy that had reached at least 12 weeks of gestation by the last day of a calendar year to be claimed as a dependent on that family or woman's income tax return. And we maybe should remind people that as of last year, there isn't actually a tax credit for children that are born, but we're considering giving one to a fetus that has completed the first trimester of pregnancy. We all were head scratching, and maybe I joined in a little banging too.
Yeah, that was just crazy. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a lot to be thankful for. And I don't want this to be a wholly negative conversation today, because we do, Lori Lamerhan, have a lot to be grateful for individually and as an ally of Planned Parenthood as well.
You're not kidding, Tony, and I would be remiss if I didn't start off this conversation about what Planned Parenthood is grateful for this year to put you, in fact, at the top of that list and your efforts to really have us be part of the conversation in a different way and use your morning show as a forum to really tell our story has been completely irreplaceable. So we are incredibly, deeply grateful for your commitment to the organization. And, you know, you're one of the folks that stepped up and put your money where your mouth is. And we are incredibly grateful for that.
Well, I appreciate that. But I'm telling you one more time, I still get a whole lot more out of this than you do. So, but I appreciate that very much. There are lots of things, though, to be grateful for. And certainly we can go back to the beginning of January, where you merged with the people in the central part of the state.
We did. It's been an interesting year for us, and it started off on January 1, where the affiliate that was more in the eastern part of the state, lower part of the state, merged with the affiliate that was based in Kalamazoo and covered the Kalamazoo Battle Creek area and created the organization that now runs 17 health centers from Detroit to Benton Harbor and as north as Saginaw and Bay City, and it encompasses 31 counties where 83% of the state's population lives. And 70,000 people will turn to my organization this year for their basic quality health care. And we hope we do that well and with compassion. And we were just really glad to be able to extend that and capture some a different level of services across the bottom of the state.
Well, and I still can't believe that this happened in April, but something very special happened in April. You opened your newest clinic.
We did indeed. Never to let grass grow under our feet, I have to say. We went right from the merger that had taken about a year to complete appropriately, and in April we were able to open our brand-new Ferndale Health Center, which we're proud to say is the only reproductive health center that offers services on a sliding fee scale in Oakland County, and it was a huge victory in the face of really stiff opposition to our presence in Oakland County that actually landed us in court over another building, which is a silly story. But the Ferndale opening really made all of that worthwhile, and more than 3,000 people will access services in that center in this year. So it was absolutely a need that we were thrilled to fill.
You know, and I want to say, let's focus on the word need for a moment. I still find it a bit perplexing that people fight against a need. And this isn't a perceived need. It's not a make-up need. It is a real need. And And that people fight against that, Lori, I find perplexing. But it's nice to know that there are lots of passionate women and men that are willing to fight for the cause that Planned Parenthood stands for.
And I think especially in Oakland County, Tony, a lot of people think of Oakland County as being one of our more affluent in our geographic area. And while that's true of parts of Oakland County, there are parts of Oakland County that really are made up of very hardworking middle-class Americans that don't have access to quality reproductive health care. And so we are really thrilled to be able to start to meet some of that need and try to alleviate some of their difficulties.
No, and you do a fabulous job of doing that. You know, one of the things that I absolutely love about Planned Parenthood is their outreach. And I don't even know that I want to specify younger people, older people, people in the middle. I just want to call it outreach. Your outreach is exceptional.
Our education staff and our outreach staff work their little heinies off, and this year they will have made more than 19,000 contacts statewide. And that represents presentations in schools and colleges and churches and community organizations. And our whole goal is about working to replace fear with facts and misinformation with evidence-based information. And we're just very glad to be able to offer evidence-based curricula in various areas where there was really a lack of curricula in the school districts, et cetera. And I'm very proud of the fact that we also help parents be the primary and most significant sexuality educator for their kids. So we offer workshops for parents to be able to tackle that role comfortably. And it's part of the many services that I think go unnoticed in what we try to do on a yearly basis.
Well, again, that outreach is so critical, and there are so many great stories and so many great opportunities. And, you know, we've had some of your educators on this program. Their enthusiasm is infectious. Anytime you work with any constituency or any age group, you know, you're going to get different sets of appreciation, but appreciation is the common thread that really does string all of these victories together. And, you know, Lori, it's, you don't always know that you're making a difference. But this is one of those things, the education and outreach, where you can see the results immediately.
Well, one of the tenets that we're living by these days is that Planned Parenthood Nationwide really wants to contribute to creating the healthiest generation ever. And so the programming that we do for youth and giving them the foundation of really adequate information around sex and sexuality that really enables them to make decisions that are healthy ones over the long span of their life is an honor to be able to fill that role. And it's also invigorating, you're right, to work around these young minds that really approach life in a very different way than those of us of a certain age.
Well, let's before we get to the break here, Lori, let's talk a little bit about the Affordable Care Act. Is that something that Planned Parenthood is grateful for?
We're dramatically grateful for the Affordable Care Act, certainly on behalf of all of the patients. You know, millions more patients will have health care coverage. And women will be able to get access to their preventative care and their birth control without co-pays or deductibles. And while I know that that's been a sticking point for many people in this legislation, I think that you can't put enough emphasis on preventative medicine and what that means for the long term. I think that was really a nod toward President Obama and his administration's commitment to understanding that short-term fixes are really not where we need to focus, but we need to focus on, you know, not just now, but the next generation, because we know that planned pregnancies end up in much healthier people in the long run.
Absolutely. Lori, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to share some stories from those that have accessed the services of Planned Parenthood and learn why they are grateful that Planned Parenthood exists. Of course, I am grateful that Planned Parenthood has come into our lives, not mine, our lives. And as I said just a few minutes ago, I get a whole lot more out of this than they realize. So as long as that's, I guess, a World Cup secret, we'll keep it that way. Quick break here. We'll come back. If you want to say something you're thankful for with regard to Planned Parenthood, give us a call, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Let me turn my attention now to Special Assistant to President Al Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, Ned McNeil.
We specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year, and we ratified this agreement in March. They could have put this agreement in place that the unions had did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing. That they're just playing this game with people's lives and with the citizens of the city of Detroit.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Lori Lamoran, my guest. She is the president of Planned Parenthood, Mid and South Michigan. Certainly, they have plenty to be thankful for. I have plenty to be thankful for. But, Lori, so do the people that access of the wonderful services that Planned Parenthood provides. In fact, on your Facebook page, people have been telling some stories. I was hoping that you might share some of them with us.
Oh, I'd love to, Tony. And you know that goes both ways. They may be grateful for us, but I'll tell you, we're pretty grateful for them. Yet keep in mind that less than 10% of our patients actually have private health insurance. And yet we give patients the opportunity to make a donation for services when they can. And this year, the nickels and quarters and dollars they threw into our jar added up to over $320,000. In support of the care for patients that don't have other kinds of resources to pay for their own care. And I think that's remarkable that we have people that really are struggling on very low incomes, but they give back as much as they can. And, you know, I don't care who you are, $320,000 is a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
So we're very grateful for their willingness to do that.
Well,
I
was going to throw it to you.
You're right, Tony. We put on our Facebook page to ask the folks that like us and follow us on Facebook to talk about what sorts of things make them grateful in terms of Planned Parenthood. And one that we chose to highlight really does highlight a service that I don't think gets a lot of attention. We had a young man from one of our health centers say that he was grateful that we provided a low-cost vasectomy because he and his wife were done having children. And I think many people don't understand that we do offer that service, and that an out-of-pocket vasectomy can be actually really very costly in a private practice, and yet we can do it for a much lower cost, and people choose to access the service with us. And it, you know, that can be a pivotal thing for long-term planning for a family in terms of when they feel like their family is complete. So I was really glad that somebody would choose to highlight that on our Facebook page. And the other thing that I think goes unnoticed more often is that, you know, we do help people that have abnormal pap smears. In many of our communities, we are the only provider that offers a service that is related to the testing and treatment of abnormal pap smears, follow-up treatment of abnormal pap smears on a sliding fee scale. And these can be very, very expensive kind of things. But we had Megan from one of our health centers that reported that at some point she was a Romney supporter and hadn't been able to afford insurance when she was through with college. But after coming to one of our centers for the first time, she found out that she had precancerous cells on her cervix. And what she told us on Facebook was that she never would have known that if she had not had access to Planned Parenthood for her pap smear, and that she ended up having to have a procedure called LEAP, which is a related procedure for women who have abnormal pap smears, and we had to take a little part of her cervix off. And now she's totally fine, and her pap smears have come back to normal. And she talked about how scary that experience was for her, and that whole thing highlighted for her the importance of choosing a candidate that really did support healthcare that was a little more broadly available. And I think that, you know, that's one of the ways that we are able to connect the dots for people, is when they understand that Planned Parenthood was there for them at a time when we might not have been able to, and especially in this last election when Governor Romney repeated over and over again, highly consistently, that one of the first things he would have done would be to do away with Planned Parenthood. So I think that, you know, it comes full circle, sort of in a political realm.
Well, you know, Lori,
I was
going to say, you know, it's I remember when we did the Ask Lori segment, you know, we got a question about, you know, a simple question, which was, you know, what does women's reproductive health actually mean? And I appreciated the fact that, you know, somebody really had the courage to ask that question. And, you know, sometimes it's as simple as asking the question to get the answer. And Planned Parenthood does provide that opportunity in a very safe and very clean, I can tell you, environment.
Well, I think that's the interesting thing, Tony. You know, our new tagline that we're launching in our branding initiative is about being able to care for people no matter what. And what we mean by no matter what is no matter what your previous choices have been in your life, no matter where you find yourself in family circumstances, no matter your level of education, your level of understanding of these things, that we're happy to be there as a resource in whatever way that our patients really need it from us, and that's our goal on a daily basis. You know, we had a young man come to our health center in Detroit worried about STDs, and in talking with the clinician, he let it be known that he had not actually ever been sexually active, but was really afraid that the HIV that he knew that a family member had be hereditary. So he was incredibly grateful to learn that he didn't need to worry about whether or not the tendency for AIDS and the infection with HIV was something that was passed on, you know, through the genes. And those are the typical sorts of things that simple information that we are able to give people really make a huge difference for them.
Well, it's just such a blessing. It's such a blessing. You know, listen, there was that great relief. We're thankful that President Obama was reelected. We know what's happening in Ohio right now, Lori, where the Ohio legislature is now trying to defund Planned Parenthood, and they've been very clear why they're doing it. They're doing it because Planned Parenthood worked very hard to reelect the president, and so this is their quote-unquote payback. They're not even hiding why they're doing it. And so let us be eternally grateful for those that get it. Planned Parenthood is the stopgap for too many people for us to just casually talk about throwing it away. What replaces it, Lori? Let's say we get rid of Planned Parenthood. What replaces it?
Well, and I've always, and I think I've said this to you before, Tony, I've always railed against this notion, even when Governor Romney said it, that he was going to defund Planned Parenthood. And I just have to remind him and the legislature in Ohio that, in fact, they're not defunding an organization. They're defunding the thousands and literally nationally millions of women that turn to Planned Parenthood for routine basic health care on an annual basis. That's who they're defunding. And I think it's an interesting notion that there are lines of other organizations and providers that will step in to take our place, when we know, and we only have to look very quickly at Texas to find out what happens. Thousands and thousands of women and families and teens go without care. So it's not as if there are people ready to step up and replace us as that safety net under the cracks of our very imperfect healthcare system as it exists today.
Well, Lori,
any notion that there's going to be others is just wrong.
And we're just out of time. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too, Tony. I hope you have a wonderful turkey day with your family and are surrounded by those you love. And once again, sir, thank you so much for all that you have done on our behalf this year.
And thank you. Let's take the break for the top of the hour. Much more to get to. The last hour of First Shift begins right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Traffic lights are flashing red in all directions. Dodge Park Road at 17 Mile Road. We still have that disabled vehicle blocking the left shoulder. I-75 northbound at 11 Mile Road. And an accident blocking the right shoulder. I-94 westbound at E-Course Road. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 60. Tonight, a low of 41. Tomorrow, 61 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano.